Good morning. If I were to ask you what your greatest treasure was, I don't think it would take long for you to think of something, right? Piece of jewelry, your favorite car, your 9-iron if you play golf, I don't know. We all have favorite things, treasured things. Maybe, I think I just said a piece of jewelry or whatever. Maybe it's our bank account because the stock market has been up in the last week or so. Maybe it's our 1943, antique car that we have spent $1 million on or whatever. It doesn't matter. But we all have treasures. And maybe that's why Jesus uses the image in the scripture today. We're in a cycle of parables and images that Jesus uses to try us to understand the mind and the will and the way God thinks. The kingdom of God is like, it's similar to. I suppose partly the images today are asking us to understand what our treasures are and how they compare or are prioritized in light of our relationship with Christ. How is the kingdom of God like a buried treasure? How can it be like a pearl of great price? You would know pretty quickly that these are comparative or interchangeable images. One pretty much reflects the other, and if you find or discover the one, you're going to find and realize the other. It's a human ism. What's an ism? Well, it's something that is. Like a tree has an isness. It's treeness. Don't break your head over that. We all long for something. The human condition, spiritual beings that we are, we're fired into life, are we not? With an infinite longing for that which we have not yet attained. Ultimately, and not just for Christians, for all human beings, it's the way God made us. We're longing for God, are we not? We're longing for unity, for love, for wholeness, and for freedom. And as many of us are here today, and as many as there are in the world, can you imagine we're approaching nearly 8 billion human beings. And we're all longing, trying to scratch that unreachable itch. The song, The Impossible Dream, came to mind last night. And I mentioned, quite by mistake, I'm sure, Bob Hope, who never sang that song, I guess. But was it Robert Goulet? Oh, you know it. And many of us know the song. To dream, to reach the unreachable itch. That's kind of, well, it is the impossible dream, isn't it? Because we can't fulfill, we in ourselves or of ourselves cannot fulfill that itch. And thank God for that itch, because we would have very boring and dull lives, would we not? Through the long journey of life, the focus and motivation of our longings will be attracted by many different kinds of treasures. Some we will pursue with great longing and deep desire, hopefully things like our spouse, our children, and the virtue and goodness of our lives. Other things will take our notice or entice us with greater or lesser degrees of intentional effort. The troubled look for peace. The poor and the wanting, the hungry look for stability and security. The lonely look for love and belonging. The oppressed look for freedom and dignity. The religious look for comfort and surety in God. The ill look for health. The bereaved look for consolation and a new footing in life. The rich and the powerful look for fail-proof ways to protect and defend all that they've gathered. The overlooked or the overworked look for rest Every human being in their soul is restless, and we need a focus to deflect and to direct our contortions to scratch that unreachable itch. Most, not all, most want God, or the image of who or what we think God is. The rub, the challenge, is the high emotional cost, really expressed in great resistance at selling everything to realize and attain what God is offering. Why do I always have to give something up, we might say. That's the beauty and the wisdom of the buried treasure and the pearl of great price. Why do human beings long for God? Even people that aren't even interested in God. They're longing for something of which they know not what. But that itch and that longing is there. Why? Because God first longs for us. Now, it might seem to many like God's hiding, like, oh, I didn't get it right yet, so I don't hear from God, and God never talks to me, and I'm not sure he even hears my prayers, many will say. But God's not trying to hide. God wants to be found. Christ, God, is the treasure buried in the field. When it's found or discovered, and those are different things, are they not? If you find something, it implies you're looking for it. If you discover it, you basically trip over it. It's an interesting twist that we're not really told whether that individual Jesus refers to was looking for a buried treasure or he just happened upon it. But once that treasure is found, the treasure being Christ, then it's realized that there's no greater value than having found Christ, and that it is worth selling everything to attain what is found in God through Christ. Again, interestingly enough, even those who resist or seemingly try to avoid God find God in irresistible and undeniable ways. We can call that unsolicited grace. I think God picks on those who try to avoid him. Resistance is a waste of energy because the hound of heaven ultimately is God, because God wants us all to be there. And God's longing and looking for us every instant of our lives. You say, well, what do you mean? God knows who we are, where we are, and what we're doing. That's true. But he's searching and longing, not only for those who are trying to say yes, but maybe especially for those who aren't so sure, I'm not going there. Ahab in the Old Testament comes to mind. He's Jewish. He is to believe, and he's the king. And he's supposed to believe in God. Oh, no, ask God for a sign. Remember that reading? Ask God for a, oh, no, I'm not asking God for a sign. He don't talk to me because, well, I don't talk to him. But God pursues. I'll give you a sign. What was the sign? A virgin. It was the prophecy of Mary and the coming of Jesus. So if you think you're hiding from God, after God stops laughing, let him know where you are. And you'll both have big smiles. So that when a person discovers Christ, particularly in an unexpected way, the gift becomes too rich to deny. And the joy of the discovery, such a person is then willingly wanting to surrender all that they had formerly held so dear, in the greater good of realizing their peace and their joy and their happiness, their fulfillment in Christ. And as we all know, that's a long and arduous journey through the course of these earthly and temporal days. Now, in our culture, the image of selling probably has too much of an economic tone to it. because in a consumerist culture, I got to get that. No, it costs too much. And you get to things spiritual in God. Oh, I'm really into God. But how do we measure that? When you hear language like selling all you have. The better word there, I think, is to surrender. Because when we find something better, it's a lot easier to give up something former. When a person finds the joy of Christ, and I mean truly finds the joy of Christ, they don't just have a God moment, and it makes me think of the charismatic renewal. Oh, I've been baptized in the Spirit, and I can speak in tongues, and that's a great thing. It's really a wonderful and powerful experience. But often enough, history has proven that people who go through that kind of experience stay that way for 30 years. That's supposed to be an opening. It's supposed to be a beginning. So that we're growing and maturing in Christ, that's the indication that you've really found Christ. And when you found Christ, you accepted him and you took him into your life so that the fruit of Christ would be known and seen in you. And you don't measure the cost. But that then we willingly surrender, which sounds a lot easier than selling, right? Because then you got to get the good price. Whether we're talking about selling or surrendering, all our previous interests and joys and searchings in life doesn't mean those things have to disappear from our lives. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that when we find Christ, we're able and willing, happily, to reprioritize all those other interests, and they find a more proper place in our lives so that Christ then can be first. If Christ is the treasure found in the field, what is the pearl of great price? You. You and I. We are the pearl of great price. We are the ones whom God searches out, so that God created us, and that pure look of divine love God made us. So that God surrenders, God sells, if you will, not a good word there really, God surrenders all that God is in the person of Jesus, the Christ, who willingly dies on the cross to defeat evil, forgive our personal sin and every other kind of sin, so that we are made the pearl of great price in the image and the liking of God who calls us to himself. Just read recently things on the Holy Spirit, and you know how often I say the Holy Spirit is literally the love of God. The Holy Spirit is love. And if we were to talk about the Trinity today, it's the same unit of love that is the love of God in Jesus and the love of God that is in the Father. So that in St. John's Gospel, as Jesus hangs on the cross, and John, he gets to that last breath, and John describes, he bowed his head and gave over his spirit. Imagine, when Jesus took his last breath, he breathed out what? The Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. Because Jesus was divine love incarnate, and he gave his last breath. Remember, ruah is the word for spirit. It means wind or breath. God gave his last breath, and that last exhaling, Jesus breathes the love of the divine in his passing onto the whole world. Now that's an image, I think, that confirms that you and I, feeble and failing as we are at times, we are the pearl of great price. Think of all the ways that even as human beings, we do that. People who give up a kidney because a person needs one, because theirs don't work. Parents who surrender and all but give up their last breath for the healing, protection, and defense of their children. And if you'll forgive or allow me the difficult topic, I prayed for Ethan Crumley in our prayers of the faithful yesterday. Now you can make that real political. Terrible, terrible. Killing four innocent, beautiful children, intelligent and alive, and injuring several others. The pain that those parents and families go through. I don't know the answer. There has to be some kind of restitution there. There does. But is he not still, to God, the pearl of great price? And then go, well, what about the parents? Yeah, what about the parents? Can we pray then for that circumstance? It's easy to judge. But that poor young boy seems to me never had a chance. I empathize with him as I empathize with those he killed and for all survivors. May God's wisdom and God's judgment, God's justice, bear some fruit in a painful reality on all sides there. Thank God for a Savior. You are the pearl of great price. That's the mirroring of the parable. The one gift really mirrors the discovery and realization of the other. So if a human being this side of heaven ever comes to find the joy of their true self, you can't find your true self unless and until you find God. And in finding God, you realize and accept as far as possible in this earthly existence, you find, realize, and accept the love God has for you. That's the discovery of the true self. And then you willingly, without much resistance or fear, you're able to surrender what you've discovered in yourself because you realize it's not ultimately you, it's the light and the truth of God within you. That's true religion. That's not institutional church religion. That's the fire of God, the fire of the Spirit in us. I hope you've been touched by that in your life, in one particular circumstance or another. Maybe it was a heinous and painful circumstance. And out of the fire of that pain, you realize the truth and the light of God's love, you see. The challenge, of course, is to finding the self. And that's getting harder and harder, it seems to me. Unsettled and disturbed as our society and culture is, and not just the American society, but cultures and societies and nations around the world. Our culture is a consumer culture. And the culture is bent on telling us who we are, what we need, and how we should be. It makes it hard to know ourselves and to consider God as number one, our top priority. Our center ultimately is Christ, so that through faith, Christ is our origin, our nature, and our identity. And that's a foundational piece in the realization only through trust and acceptance as a surrender to God's love that we realize ourselves as having a priceless value to God. What makes that so hard to find? The fog and the confusion of sin. Again, thank God for the Savior we have. How can God love me when I so often fail? Don't stare at yourself. Stare at God. Stare at the cross. Not its torment and its torture, but its beauty and its truth. And you'll begin to feel inklings of the divine truth within you because it's there. I know that because you're here. Resistance is a waste of time. Let the love in. There's a lot of Ethan Crumleys out there of any age that have been through hell. Mental health issues, bad parenting, absent parenting, etc. The list is long. The abused, the neglected, the abandoned. We all got something. And we're called to have that compassion. Isn't that the beauty and the wisdom of these images that Jesus uses? He's the treasure, we're the pearl. Notice again, there's four different images here. Jesus uses the image of the net thrown into the sea. That net immediately parallels or is similar to what we read last week about the weeds and the wheat. All will be gathered. But at the end, that net will be pulled in, and all that is worthy and worthwhile will be put into buckets. Not an entirely enticing image, but it's saved. Everything else, thrown away. You're not getting out of here without some weeds. And if you think you don't have any, don't, because you do. Let God use those weeds, because even God allows them, because you're so valuable. No, don't pull up those weeds. You might disturb the wheat. You all have fruits because you have love, because you have Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit. But if we keep looking at ourselves in light of all we don't have that we really want and can't get and all of this and that, and we look at all that we aren't because we don't behave well enough all the time, it's a study in self-weakness. Look at Christ. Look at the truth in the light of that love. St. Paul says that in Romans. I refer to that time and again. Chapter 12, is it? For the renewal of your minds, it says, into the mind of Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Search for your inner goodness. It's there. You know it because you see it. Look for your inner truth. That's God in you. Surrender to that goodness, surrender that truth, believe it about yourself. You don't have to go around soliciting compliments from others just to confirm it. Believe it yourself, because that is God in you. Christ is your greatest treasure. And when you accept and realize that, that unreachable itch is going to get scratched. And won't that feel good? You are the pearl of great price. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.